Hello everyone, my name is Lauren and I am the captain of the affirmative side, the denominators. My teammates are Kim, Michelle, and Jen, and we will be explaining and proving with scientific evidence that the cause of the dinosaur's extinction was due to an asteroid.
Hello, my name is Tanya and I'm the captain for the numerators. My teammates are Christine, Eileen, and Cynthia. We believe that several other cases instead of the meteor are responsible for killing the dinosaurs.
This is Lauren, denominators. We're not just debating that it was just the asteroid itself, but the effects the asteroid had on the Earth's environment as well. We, the denominators, and also our opponents, really want you to get interested in our debate. So be on the lookout, well, I guess since you can't see us, but listen out, for a few surprises! Until then, I'd like to give you some background and introduce our argument. 65 million years ago, an asteroid hit the Earth and started a ruckus that people like ourselves debate over. The ruckus was a ginormous asteroid that hit Mexico. By ginormous, I mean that the asteroid was roughly 10 kilometers or 6 miles in diameter. Wow!
That's big.
Really big.
This impact made a huge explosion and a crater about 180 kilometers or 110 miles in diameter. Debris from the explosion was projected into the atmosphere, severely altering the climate and leading to the extinction of roughly three-fourths of the species that existed at that time, including the dinosaurs. Many asteroids like this are known to exist now. Their orbits pass through the inner solar system and cross the Earth's orbit. Kind of scary. This could be a problem in the future, as these may hit the Earth and start the cycle all over again. Our reliance is on the fact that most of them, but keep in mind not all, are small. Smaller than the ginormous ones that blasted into our Earth 65 million years ago. But let's keep our minds on the path. My three team members have done exceptional research to help support our argument that it was the asteroid and the effects of it that led to the dino death, and to also convince and change your mind if you believe otherwise. The denominator's first team member, Kim, will be explaining the impact in further detail and giving evidence that an asteroid impact did in fact happen. She will be discussing evidence found in rock sediment, such as iridium, how the layers of it can tell pretty much exactly what happened, and the idea behind the KT boundary. After Kim will be Michelle, with her topics and arguments supporting the asteroid theory, but with even more renditions to offer. Michelle will be discussing the effects after the impact that led to the extinction of the dinosaurs, all within the theme of fire. First, she will scientifically describe how the Earth pretty much was turned into a giant boiler oven. Hard to imagine, I know, but she'll make perfect sense of it. She will then discuss how it, quote-unquote, rained fire, killing all the dinosaurs, and of course, she has good reasoning for that strange-sounding phenomenon, too. Lastly, she will be arguing on the topic of a methane gas ignition of most of the Earth. This will all be clarified with greater detail and evidence from science and things such as soot. You never guess it, but you'll find out soon that soot can tell us a lot. After Michelle proposes her argument, Jen will follow her. I have already told you a little bit about how big the asteroid was, but Jen will get into the details and evidence of how fast it was and how much power it had. Jen is full of interesting facts. She will be discussing the actual impact that occurred from the asteroid more in depth and explain how sulfur dioxide comes into play. Jen will also explain the idea of a quote-unquote long winter and the quote-unquote darkness, which is more formally and better understood as the disturbance or utter elimination of photosynthesis. If you don't know what photosynthesis is or didn't know that it's a crucial part of our actually being alive, then pay close attention to Jen's section because she will fully explain it. So as you can see, or no, tell, we are ready to argue our side of the dino debate. We're 100% positive that it was an asteroid and its effects that led to the extinction of the dinosaurs and three-fourths of all the species at that time. Armed with scientific facts, theories upon theories, which yes, theories are backed up by evidence, like Tony said in class, when you hear the word theory, think of facts, quotes and fun surprises, we the denominators are ready to dominate this debate.
Okay, this is Tanya from the numerators. Ever since the first fossils were found of extinct animals, humans have wondered, how did they die? If creatures this large and dominant could be killed by a certain event, can't this easily happen to the billions of humans on Earth today? It has been known that dinosaurs were roaming the Earth 65 million years ago, until a catastrophe made them extinct. But what exactly was this catastrophe? There have been numerous unscientific hypotheses for the reason of extinction, including cosmic rays killed them, mammals outcompeted the dinosaurs, and our personal favorite, the dinosaurs became so depressed that they killed themselves. While these are possible yet undoubtful wrong hypotheses, there is a more serious side to finding the answer we all want to know. What killed the dinosaurs? The Numerator's view is that the effects of constant volcanic eruptions slowly killed off the dinosaurs. Scientists are quite certain that at the end of the Cretaceous period, there was increased volcanic activity. Over the period of several million years, this increased volcanism created three different arguments that were presented by my teammates today, which include a high iridium concentration, the presence of acid rain, and finally, dramatic climate change. These all contributed to the extinction of the dinosaurs. First, Christine will present how iridium, the most corrosive resistant metal known, is associated with volcanism, and how the KT boundary gives us further evidence to the death of the dinosaurs. Through research, scientists have studied numerous iridium spikes distributed unevenly, which explains eruptions over a long time span rather than a single impact. Then, Eileen will explain how acid rain created by the volcanic gases affected land and sea organisms, resulting in the death of the dinosaurs. There is evidence that the most concentrated amount of acid rain fell on the Earth 65 million years ago. And what a coincidence, this is the time that the dinosaurs became extinct. Finally, Cynthia will talk about how the gas and ash released by the volcanoes blocked the dinosaurs' most important resource, the sun, and created a dramatic climate change. This led to the greenhouse effect, increased carbon dioxide levels, and a change in the Earth's atmosphere. There are still several other questions that come to mind when trying to solve the mystery of the dinosaurs, like, why did small dinosaurs not survive like small reptiles? And why did the dinosaurs not survive like birds and other mammals? There's still a lot of work that must be done, and most of the evidence is questionable, as it points to several different answers. But in our following arguments, we will focus on the few factors that have really progressed toward our understanding of what killed the dinosaurs.
Hello, my name is Kim Heydrich, and I'm a part of the Denominators. About 65 million years ago, there was a historical period known as the Cretaceous and Tertiary, or KT, extinction event, also known as the KT boundary. It was a period of massive extinction of species, also known as the extinction of the dinosaurs. It corresponds to the end of the Cretaceous period and the beginning of the Tertiary period. At this time, it has been scientifically proven that an asteroid hit the Earth, leading to this mass extinction. Now that Captain Lauren has described this mass impact, you might be asking yourself, how was this impact event discovered after so many years? Well, let me tell you. In the 1970s, Lewis and Walter Alvarez, along with a team of scientists from the University of California, began a study of the rocks around the KT boundary in Italy. At this point, they noticed and began studying a certain layer within the Earth. It was a layer of clay that contained a rare element, iridium. When discovered, the levels of iridium contained in the clay were roughly 30 times the normal levels.
Dino joke!
All right, here's a little joke. How can you tell if a dinosaur is a vegetarian?
How?
Lie down on a plate.
So, back to iridium. Iridium is a very rare element, so when discovered in a huge amount, that means something serious happened. There are only two sources of iridium. The main source comes from outer space in the form of cosmic dust, which is constantly showering the planet. The second source is the Earth's core when there are volcano eruptions. It is believed that the iridium, plus many other rare elements, were carried down and concentrated into the Earth's core while the Earth was still largely molten. During this time, certain types of prehistoric meteors were formed where no concentration could have taken place due to rapid cooling. This means that it is possible that within the prehistoric meteors, there could be reasonable levels of iridium. Real quick, I want to describe the thin layer that means the boundary between the Cretaceous and the Tertiary rocks. This layer has been found at many locations around the Earth. It is a well-known fact that throughout the history of the planet, there have been many thousands of impacts, some large and some small. The results of these impacts can have a wide variation. Two recent events show these differences in the results very well. The results are known as the Tungsten Fireball and the Beringer Meteor Crater.
The largest complete dinosaur we know of was a Brontosaurus, also known as the Arm Lizard. It reached 23 meters in length and 12 meters in height, about the length of two large school buses and the height of a four-story building.
Wow!
That's huge!
Not only was the layer of iridium found to prove that this asteroid hit Earth, but there are other lines of evidence to prove that a relatively large impact happened 65 million years ago. For instance, shock quartz deposits have been found in the regions near central to lower North America, indicating a large shockwave propagated across the area. Also, tiny glass beads have been found in the same region, with large ones more concentrated near the Yucatan. The glass beads are most closely related to the objects we call tektites, glass that forms from meteor impact ejecta. Another piece of evidence are the tsunami deposits that were found in the Gulf of Mexico from that era, which indicate a massive tidal wave. Finally, a crater caused an impact large enough to cause all of these things have been found right on the coast of the Yucatan, centered on the Chicxulub, and dating to the right time period. The impact site was discovered in 1990 by Alan Hildebrand. He found a ring structure 180 kilometers in diameter, which was called Chicxulub. Location of the structure was just off the northwest tip of the Yucatan Peninsula. To end my part, I want to make sure my points are clear. We know that a meteor with a diameter of 10 kilometers contains enough iridium to cause a spike. We also know that about 65 million years ago, there was an impact of a large object. The big question is, what were the results, and how did they affect the dinosaurs? Which I'm leaving up to my two other teammates, Jen and Michelle, to answer for you.
Hi, my name is Christine. I am part of the Numerators. For those of you who think you know, you have no idea. If you were actually paying attention, you might have been convinced by Kim over here. However, I just wanted to jump right in and lead you guys away from her misconceptions. First off, I wouldn't try to argue that an asteroid didn't hit Earth, but she said that it led to our poor dinosaurs' extinction. I'm going to have to be skeptical of that. Kim said that the second source of iridium is in Earth's core when there are volcanic eruptions, and she's right. Iridium is found almost globally, and it is found in the strata that is not the same date everywhere, when it should have been found mostly in the Yucatan regions and bear the same date. But yet, tell me why the greatest abundance is found on the Hess Rise in the mid-Pacific. For those of you scratching your heads, it's a good 6,200 miles away. Also, Italy displays 5 iridium peaks, which means there should have been 5 impacts, yet only one crater was found. I really don't think all the impacts happened on exactly the same spot. And the last Kim point I would be sketchy about, if the Yucatan regions were the impact site, then shouldn't the greatest mass extinctions be in the Southeast and North America, or Central America, and even Northeast and South America? But yet the dinosaur fossil graveyard is in the Gobi Desert, way on the other side of the Earth. So if I were you, I would disregard everything she just said. Okay, so this is what happened. About a million years ago, a piece of land passed over a hot spot in the Earth's mantle. Then a huge mass of molten rock rose up from the depths of the Earth and pushed up against the surface. This caused the surface to bulge slightly and to form a huge crack in the ground. That was bad enough, but then gobs of molten rock flew upward through the giant cracks in the endless series of volcanic eruptions. As the view changes, we see the land covered with layer upon layer of lava. Also huge dust of clouds, acid droplets, and gases from the eruptions filling the air, enough to cover the whole entire Earth. In this alternate explanation of the loss of the dinosaurs, they did not die out in an instant in some catastrophic disaster as the other team is trying to claim. Instead, it happened over a period of a few million years of very stressful conditions. These conditions were caused by a series of giant volcanic eruptions that lasted for a long time. Several million years, in fact. Even in our time, large volcanic eruptions have been known to change our weather, mostly by dumping vast amounts of sulfur into the upper atmosphere. I would get into all the details of how exactly the atmosphere was disrupted and all, but I would leave that to Cynthia and Eileen to explain. Instead, I should take the time to convince, and they'll tell you that we are right and they are wrong. By now, the big question is, how are we so sure this is what happened? Oh, don't worry, we'll tell you. First off, there's a huge volcanic deposit that formed at the right time, which is called the Deakin Trap in India. The Deakin Traps were a result of huge volcanic eruptions spewing forth floods of lava in India during the late Cretaceous period. It has been seen today at the KT boundary that the lava rocks were rich in iridium, which explains why they most likely originated in the Earth's mantle. There is a number of iridium spikes distributed irregularly. Now, this can explain the fact that eruptions cover a long time span than one impact.
What kind of dinosaur can you ride in a rodeo?
What kind?
Why?
A bronchosaurus!
Okay, now what's all this talk of iridium? For those of you who slept through chemistry, iridium is a platinum group metallic element that is very common in the Earth's crust. The platinum group metals also include platinum, of course. On the periodic table, these metals are also in the same column as the group 8 elements, which include iron, nickel, and cobalt. Group 8 elements all have a natural chemical affinity for each other, and therefore, they tend to collect together in nature. The greatest concentration of iron on Earth is at its core. This is also where the greatest concentration of Earth's iridium resides. Iridium is the most corrosion-resistant metal known. It is insoluble even in one of the most potent acids available, aqua region. Therefore, it is also insoluble in groundwater. This means that iridium tends to stay in place in the rock strata rather than becoming mobilized and transported in solution throughout the rock, hence the long-term stability of the iridium in the KT boundary clay layer in the Hell Creek Formation. Iridium is associated with volcanism, especially with dust ejected into the atmosphere from intrusions. For instance, the fine airborne particles above in Hawaiian eruption were found to be highly enriched in iridium, much higher than the KT boundary clays in Italy, as Kim tried to claim. High iridium has also been associated with other volcanic eruptions and found within volcanic dust bands in the Antarctic ice cores and Hawaiian volcanic activity. This fine material is of similar particular size as a KT boundary clay. So in order to better understand the meaning of this find and why it's important, one must know what KT boundary is as well as the significance of the iridium. The K in KT stands for Cretaceous and T stands for Tertiary. This KT boundary ranges in thickness from 500 meters to 2 centimeters. One scientist studied the sample KT clay. They found that the levels of iridium were roughly 30 times the normal levels. The quartz crystal that have been physically altered does so naturally, but only under extreme pressure and temperatures. Now, as you can see, Kim and I both presented some good information, but I just ask that you admit to yourself that I presented facts and she presented fabrications. And for those of you still skeptical, you'll be a believer after Cynthia and Eileen breaks it down.
Hello again, this is Kim Hayden for the denominators, and I'm rebutting Christine's argument for the numerators. I'm not sure who'd want to believe Christine's argument. What does she know? She's only in Physics 180B. I was listening to her when she couldn't see tertiary, right? First of all, Christine, you made the argument that iridium is associated with volcanism. A part of the group, and how it is a part of the group 8 elements. Yet in meteors, platinum group metals are significantly more abundant than they are in rocks in the Earth's crust, often hundreds to thousands of times more concentrated. Iron meteors contain much higher concentrations of these elements. You also made the argument dealing with the Deakin Traps, yet there is not a specific date when those were formed. The Deakin Traps formed between 68 million years ago, at the end of the Cretaceous period. Also, a large impact crater has been recently reported on the sea floor off the west coast of India called the Chivia crater, also to form inform the listeners, the Chibi crater is a hypothesized impact crater located in the Indian Ocean west of India. It has been suggested that it is formed around 65 million years ago, the same time as the number of the other impacts that are recorded in the KT boundary, which has been dated at 65 million years, rather than the Cretaceous and Tertiary boundary. The researchers suggested that the impact was a triggering event for the Deakin Taps, as well as the contributing to the acceleration of the Indian plate in the early Tertiary.
Hello, my name is Michelle, and I'm delivering the second argument for the denominator. As my partner Kim pointed out, much of the proof that it is an asteroid that killed the dinosaurs is found in rock sediment. Sediment content has also led to a few theories on what happened after the asteroid hit. The first theory came about when a group of geologists and geophysicists discovered new evidence that proved that dinosaurs most likely died shortly after the impact of an asteroid. It is theorized that when the asteroid hit, it was like 100 million megatons of TNT being set off on the Earth. That's a lot. The force from the explosion created a massive amount of debris to be sent into the air, most of it burning up in the atmosphere. This debris caused the heat energy released from the asteroid impact to be trapped, heating the atmosphere up severely. This sequence of events ultimately made the Earth a giant boiler oven, turning the biomass of the continents into ash. This theory is supported by finding in rock sediment samples. In the sediment, a layer of clay was found to contain soot, extraterrestrial iridium, and spheres of melted rock. The extraterrestrial iridium is from the asteroid, and the soot and the melted rock are from the intense heat and the Earth at the time.
Dino joke!
What do you do if you see a Tony the T-Rex?
What?
Oh, Daddy doesn't see you. So he doesn't see you.
You hope
he runs.
Right. The second theory is the same idea as the first, but slightly different. In an interview from the show Daily Planet, astronomer Ivan Simonuk states that the asteroid contained so much energy that it launched debris out of the atmosphere and halfway to the moon. When it reached space, the debris started to spread out and covered the Earth. When the debris ran out of forward momentum, it started to fall back down to Earth like trillions of meteors. The debris contained so much heat energy that it heated up the air to around 500 degrees. The heat set the plant life around the world on fire. Fires were also created whenever the debris hit the Earth. This theory is also supported by a layer of soot found in the rocks.
Dino facts!
The oldest dinosaur was Eoraptor. He lived on Earth about 230 million years ago.
Wow!
That's cool.
The third theory that supports the asteroid and a fiery death for the dinosaurs is the theory of methane being released from the Earth. A group of oceanographers believe that shockwaves from the asteroid impact caused methane gas that was trapped in the ground to be released into the Earth's atmosphere. Lightning storms also created by the asteroid's collision ignited the released methane and turned the atmosphere into fire. Proof of this theory has been found in Florida. Sediments dating back to the time of the impact has shown disturbances. These disturbances are believed to have been caused by the methane released. Recently, methane has been seen escaping from the ocean. Scientists believe this is the same methane that was released during the asteroid impact. While much of the Earth was destroyed by the fire, there was a few small areas not affected. These areas include the water, underground, and some areas on land. This allowed a few dinosaurs to survive. Those species that survived were then faced with the fire's aftermath. My partner, Jen, will further elaborate on this aftermath.
Hi, my name is Aileen, and I'm a member of the Numerator. And I'm going to rebut into Michelle's argument. Yes, Michelle is right that there was an asteroid impact, and when the asteroid hit the Earth, it did surround the Earth with a huge cloud of dust and steam. So, therefore, I support her in this part of her argument because it's true, but Michelle's theory about raining fire could not have caused massive destruction because according to James Lawrence, a paleontologist, he said that fossil teeth have been found from Nodosaurus herbivore dinosaur, which lived long after this event of asteroid impact or raining fire occurred. So, if this plant-eating dinosaur lived long after the asteroid impact, then there must have been living plants around. This led me to think that if the dinosaurs were not killed by the asteroid impact, then maybe other theories such as acid rain may have caused the dinosaurs' extinction. If the dinosaurs were not wiped out with the meteor impact, then maybe they died gradually, or maybe it was the result of the meteor impact that killed the dinosaurs. That ends my rebuttal. My argument is that I'm going to be supporting the theory that acid rain may have caused the dinosaurs' extinction. One of the results of the asteroid impact 65 million years ago is acid rain. Acid rain is one of the minor theories of dinosaurs' extinction. The asteroid impact some 65 million years ago created great heat both on land and in the atmosphere. The shock heating of the atmosphere is enough to cause atmospheric oxygen and nitrogen to combine into gaseous nitrous oxide. This gas then changes to nitric acid when combined with rain. The most enormous and concentrated acid rain in the history of the Earth fell on land and sea 65 million years ago. It kept falling until the upper 300 feet of the world's oceans had enough acid to dissolve thick ocean shells. Can you believe that?
No.
No.
Wow.
We don't.
What is the cause of this acid rain? Acid rain occurs when sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxide are emitted in the atmosphere, followed by their undergoing chemical transformation, which is later absorbed by water droplets and clouds. The droplets then fall to Earth as rain or snow. This can result in the increased acidity of the soil and affect the chemical balance of lakes and streams. The natural phenomena that contribute acid-producing gases to the atmosphere are emissions from volcanoes and natural processes that occur on the land and in the oceans. Do you know the effect of acid rain on the soil?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Tell us.
We're dying to know.
According to James Lawrence, author of The Night Comes to the Cretaceous, he said that the soil biology can be seriously damaged by acid rain. There are organisms that can quickly consume acids, but there are also other organisms that are unable to tolerate high acidity and are killed. The enzymes of these organisms are changed in shape by the acid, so they no longer function. If acid rain can cause these organisms to die, imagine the effect that the acid rain can have on bigger animals such as the dinosaurs over a period of time. To continue, let's take into consideration that there was acid rain during the extinction of dinosaurs. According to Purves, author of the textbook Life, he said that most fungi live in forest soil. This gives rise to one of the problems resulted from acid rain.
Why do Tyrannosaurus like to eat snowmen?
Why?
Because they melt in their mouth.
To continue, instead of having naturally fungi-dominated forest soil, acid shifts forest soils to be more bacterially dominated. And in order to fix nitrogen in the atmosphere, many trees rely on fungi in a symbiotic relationship with their roots. If acidity gets in the way of symbiotic relationship between the roots of plants and fungi, this could lead to trees struggling to fix nitrogen in the atmosphere. Because acid rain can cause a stress effect on trees and plants, there's a possibility that it was the acid rain that destroyed the dinosaurs' atmosphere and habitat, which probably then lead to dinosaur extinction. According to Dr. Peter Shahan of the Milwaukee Public Museum, he led to the theory that acid rain did lead to dinosaur extinction. Not only did he suggest that dinosaurs went out with a bang, but he has solid evidence to back up this claim. In addition, simply to studying boundary rocks, Shahan joined his team and drilled into the Chicxulub crater in the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico. While it was not necessarily surprising, the team found large amounts of anhydrite in the crater. As you know, anhydrite is a mineral composed of largely of sulfur. If you calculated the amount of anhydrite that was vaporized, reasoned Sheehan and his team, determine how much sulfur went in the atmosphere. Of course, if there was enough sulfur vaporized, intense amounts of acid rain could have been a direct result, creating chaos in the dinosaurs and other organisms. Sheehan and his team did the math, studied just how much sulfur at the time of the asteroid impact would have been blown into the atmosphere, and they discovered that amount of sulfur was more than enough needed to send dinosaur pores of acid rain, that's like a lot, into the earth.
Dino joke!
Speaking of rain, when can three giant dinosaurs get under an umbrella and not get wet?
Whatever.
When it's not acid raining.
To continue, after the asteroid impact and after the return of the light on the Earth, the climate went totally on the opposite extreme. According to Walter Alvarez, not only were water and dust raining out of the atmosphere, but there was also devastating acid rain. According to him, some of this may have been sulfuric acid, which came from the sulfur and anhydrite, like I said earlier, but much was nitric acid coming from the actual atmosphere. As you know, the air we breathe is about 20% oxygen and most of the rest is nitrogen. Normally, these occur on two atom molecules of oxygen and nitrogen. Nitrogen forms very stable molecules, which are tightly bonded together. Only when the air is strongly heated are the nitrogen molecules broken up, allowing some of the nitrogen to combine with oxygen as molecules of the nitrous oxide. Alvarez includes that the formation of nitrous oxide happened on a grand after an asteroid impact event. The air was heated by the shock waves caused by the asteroid impact. Vast quantities of nitrogenous oxide were formed, which reacted with oxygen and water vapor in the atmosphere to form nitric acid, which rained out of the sky, killing plants and especially animals. Many scientists have calculated that the impact into the sulfur-rich deposits of the Yucatan would have produced over 200 billion tons of both sulfur dioxide and of water. To conclude, as the abrupt event of the asteroid impact washed out the nitrogen and sulfur compounds, it generated acid rain that may have destroyed the remaining organisms. That ends my argument.
This is Michelle again, providing the rebuttal. I'm not actually refuting that acid rain occurred. In fact, it is said that the clouds of sulfate created after the fires were capable of creating acid rain. We know that the acid rain was due to the asteroid striking because scientists have found carbonate and sulfate rocks in the crater created by the asteroid. So, this argument actually strains our point that an asteroid hit the Earth. However, some scientists believe that acid rain was not a major cause of the extinction. This is because the acidity of the rain was so weak due to chemical buffers that it did little to no damage. We know from work on living species and habitats that among vertebrates, acid rain hurts aquatic organisms most, killing both adults and eggs laid in the water. Among the aquatic organisms, however, only sharks and their relatives showed very high levels of extinction. Other aquatic species did very well through the KT transition. Thus, acid rain was probably not a major factor.
Booyah!
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Jen, and I'll be addressing the third argument for the denominators. And I would first ask that you all wake up, because I know these debates are painfully boring. I've been in your spot. You're almost there. We're almost done. All right. Now, Captain Lauren addressed for you earlier in the opening statement that the asteroid was about 10 kilometers wide. This is over 6 miles, people. Now, could you imagine this traveling 150,000 meters per hour? Now, something traveling 6 miles wide, 150,000 miles, meters per hour. Now, in my opinion, that would scare the dinosaurs to death, but we're going to go with a more scientific view that the asteroid at this speed would cause tremendous pressure and temperature, and the impact on the Earth would be huge. Now, the kinetic energy of an asteroid at this speed would be equivalent to 300 million nuclear weapons. As Michelle stated earlier, it would be like 100 million megatons of TNT set off on Earth. It's so crazy.
Dino joke!
What do you get when you cross a dinosaur with fireworks and nuclear weapons?
What?
Dynamite!
Sorry! Moving along, this would cause the temperature hotter than the sun's surface for several minutes. The impact from collision vaporized the asteroid and also vaporized 10 times its mass in rock that it hit, and it threw 100 billion tons of material into the air. Michelle informed you of the different theories of how the impact created fires that killed the dinosaurs. Now, some calculations have suggested that fires were more intense in certain areas than others, and some places were completely spared of the fires. So, you all may be asking, what if most of the dinosaurs lived in the areas that were spared of the fires? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because, you see, other environmental effects would have killed off any dinosaurs not killed in the fire. Fires, all these fires, they're like huge, like 400 cubic miles up that spread all this going on in the atmosphere. This causes thick clouds of smoke and soot in the air. And the fires would also have filled the air with sulfur dioxide. Now, sulfur combined with ultraviolet radiation would cause a sulfuric acid in the upper atmosphere. That was a boring sentence, but stay with me. So there's a bunch of sulfur in the atmosphere. All right. Now, all this sulfur is going to be combined with the debris from the vaporized asteroid and rock that would have blocked the sunlight for years, lowering global temperatures, causing what is referred to as a long winter. So basically, all the junk in the atmosphere blocked the sun, and it's cold. The majority of the debris and soot would have drifted back into the Earth within 6 months. The material settling would coat the Earth with a thin layer of iridium-rich dust that Kim explained earlier. However, the sulfur, being much lighter than all the other debris, stayed for many years, continuing to block the sunlight. So, if there are dinosaurs that survived the fires, had to live in the darkness, it would not be possible to live in darkness for very long, because a little thing I like to call photosynthesis. Now, this is defined as an important biochemical process where plants, algae, and some bacteria convert energy from the sun into chemical energy. This process is vital to life on Earth because nearly all living organisms rely on this for nourishment. Photosynthesis is responsible for producing oxygen that makes up a large portion of the Earth's atmosphere. So if there's no sunlight, plants that derive energy from sun will die. Now when plants die, the herbivores that eat the plants, if they could still breathe with the lack of oxygen, it may be hard for some of you to hear, but they would starve to death. And if all the herbivores are dead, the carnivores are going to starve to death. Which leads me to my dino facts. Did you know the Tyrannosaurus Rex means tyrant lizard king?
No.
Well, it does. And it's 40 feet long, 15 to 20 feet tall, and weighs 5 to 7 tons.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, it ate Triceratops, which name means three-horned face. Very original. Triceratops are 30 feet long and weigh up to 6 to 12 tons.
Wow.
I know, it's intense. So you may be asking, well, how did anything survive?
Yeah.
Good question.
Pretty much.
Certain birds, fish, mammals, and small reptiles would have been able to survive conditions such as the cold if they can burrow underground or live in caves. Now, if they can consume roots and seeds and decaying matter, they wouldn't starve to death. Now, can anyone imagine a T-Rex burrowing into the ground and surviving off seeds when it's been used to eating Triceratops? Come on, let's be real, people. Yeah, so they would have starved to death. Any way you look at the matter, dinosaurs were killed as a result of a huge asteroid.
Hi, my name is Cynthia, and I'm from the Numerators, and I'm going to be rebutting everything that
Jen just said.
Everything.
First of all, I wanted to talk about how she's always talking about the asteroid being so big, 10 kilometers here, something thousand miles per second.
150.
Well, there is no visible lack of an impact crater. A solid object 10 kilometers in diameter could be expected to have done a massive amount of crustal damage on its impact, the signs of which ought to still be detectable after 65 million years. And it's not. So there we go. A lie. Don't believe them. Another thing that she talked about was sulfur dioxide. It kills virtually all living creatures. So she's saying that it killed off all the dinosaurs when in fact it didn't, because in a vast land area, all living things should have died, producing large amounts of fossils, since decomposers of dead bodies would have perished as well. Well, there was not enough fossils around, and there should have been tons of them, so therefore we know that was another lie.
Booyah!
The high concentration levels of sulfur dioxide dispersed in the Earth's atmosphere should have devastated all land creatures at higher evolutionary stages. Well, now that you've heard liars, let's hear the truth. And here to close this last, you know, we saved the best for last, which is that, you know, dinosaurs died because of volcanoes. Here I'm going to explain to you another three real reasons and facts why it was due to the volcanoes. Okay, my main argument that I'm going to be talking about is the greenhouse effects and the carbon dioxide and the Earth's atmosphere. First off, I will be explaining the carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide serves to keep the heat near the surface, effectively insulating the surface from the cold of space. High levels of carbon dioxide destroyed dinosaur embryos, which left them unable to reproduce any other dinosaurs, therefore they became extinct. The breathing stimulus of warm-blooded dinosaurs was removed by low levels of carbon dioxide. The oceans became stranded due to high levels of carbon dioxide. Stagnant conditions means that there would be no food left for the dinosaurs to eat, which would cause them to die of starvation. Large amounts of volcanic gases, such as carbon dioxide, depleted the upper atmosphere of the Earth. Climate zones that cause ecological instability, migrations of animals and plant populations, expand the range of tropical diseases to plague temperature-adapted organisms and cause them to experience elevated body temperatures known as hypothermia. Yes, dinosaurs could also get hypothermia. Great.
Favorite time.
What do you call a dinosaur that is a noisy sleeper?
What?
A brontosaurus.
Okay. Great volcanic events release greenhouse gases known as CO2 and water vapor onto Earth's surface. These greenhouse gases trap heat from the sun, allowing Earth to warm sufficiently to support life. By destroying the ozone layer, it's left... Sorry, one second. Sorry about that. This greenhouse internal heat led to embryo death. The greenhouse effect caused an induced reduction of blood flow to the urine tract that damages and kills embryos within their mothers. Wow, that's really sad. Greenhouse effect caused the dinosaurs to become sterile and unable to reproduce. Could you believe that? Unsterile? Wouldn't we love that? In general, it's proposed that volcanic activity put so much ash and gases into the atmosphere, the Earth's atmosphere, making it too hot or too cold for the dinosaurs. By destroying the ozone layer, it left base-skinned creatures such as dinosaurs completely susceptible to harmful ultraviolet radiation. This theory is also states that mammals covered in hair or feathers would be less susceptible to these deadly rays, allowing them to survive through the extinction of the dinosaurs. Here, I'm telling you a true fact that that's the reason why dinosaurs got extinct and we still have other species around, because they had fur. As carbon dioxide builds up, it leads to the greenhouse effect. It sounds kind of funny that either can happen, but it is true. If the ashes particles are really small, like 2 microns small, then they block out incoming sunlight and the Earth gets too cold. If they are bigger than 2 microns, then they let the sunlight in, but don't let heat radiation from the surface out, and the Earth gets warm. Isn't that weird? Either the cold air or the hot air killed the dinosaurs. Isn't that ironic? Atmospheric changes due to extensive volcanism and dust formation which change the climate and light levels. There could also be the release of poisonous substances such as selenium, which could have been fatal and thinned the shells of the dinosaur eggs. How sad. Doesn't it make you want to cry? The changing climate imposed stresses upon the dinosaurs that they could not adapt to in sufficient time, causing them to die. A hot climate can cause the dinosaurs to become overheated in the summer if they are warm-blooded, and in cold climates too, which meant embryo development was inhibited, reducing dinosaur numbers. If dinosaurs were cold-blooded, they would not have been able to survive through very harsh winters as they were too large to hibernate and weren't able to keep their body temperature at an appropriate temperature. So there you have it. You have heard all of both sides, asteroids and volcanoes, but now you know the truth. Volcanoes made all dinosaurs extinct. Thank you.
Well, it's Jen again from the Denominators doing the rebuttal of Cynthia's argument. Personally, I'm kind of confused on your rebuttal of mine, because you mentioned that the sulfur would kill all living things, and there's also sulfur in volcanoes would be an argument against yourself, and you mentioned how would any other organisms survive, and I already told you that they burrowed, so I don't really understand the confusion. Let me move on. You mentioned that the ash and gas in the atmosphere from the volcano either got too hot for the dinosaurs or too cold. Now, this seems a little bit contradictory in my mind. Even research for your theory says that a long winter may have occurred, which goes against your whole greenhouse effect argument. You mentioned that if ash particles are small enough, then they block incoming sunlight, which would cool the Earth. And larger particles would let sunlight in, but not radiation from the surface, which would warm the Earth. As I addressed earlier, the debris and ash, which are larger particles, would be in the atmosphere for a period of months, but the sulfur, smaller particles, remains for several years. Sulfur has been found from asteroids and volcanoes, and the sulfur blocks the sunlight from coming in, causing a global cooling, not to be confused with warming, as you have argued. So, you could argue the sulfur from the volcano caused the global cooling, killing dinosaurs. However, you would still be wrong, because an asteroid caused the killing, but you would at least be closer to the right track if you want to try that next time. I would like to conclude my rebuttal with the moment you've all been waiting for.
Dino-Wax!
Did you know that as a child, Tony's favorite dinosaur was the T-Rex? Because his name started with a T. He insisted that his family call him T-Rex for 7 years. He didn't say why they stopped, but I'm sure he would offer extra credit to anyone really to listen. All you have to do is ask.
So is that Tony due to Rexes?
Yeah.
All right. This is Lauren again, captain of the affirmative side, the Denominators. And I will now be giving our closing statement for our pro-asteroid and its effects debate. I hope you enjoyed our debate. We tried to make it as interesting and factful as possible, and I hope we were able to successfully get our ideas across. Although there were similarities between our two arguments, such as where the iridium could have come from, I think it's clear that the idea of an asteroid killing off the dinosaurs is much more likely and realistic due to all the scientific evidence we have provided you with. No one will ever really know, but science and technology we have used are so advanced these days that they are rarely wrong. Like Tony said in class, all of these theories are not just made-up hypotheses. They are actual facts with background and evidence to support it. We have given numerous theories, facts, scientific evidence, and realistic possibilities that I hope you were able to side with us, the Denominators, and tell all your friends that it was an asteroid and its effects that led to the extinction of dinosaurs if you don't want to get that confused. Thanks!
This is Tanya, and I'm from the Numerators giving my closing statement. From the arguments heard this evening, it is clear that the dinosaurs were slowly killed by several factors instead of just the impaction of the meteor. Instead, through scientific research and putting the puzzle pieces together, we believe that during the time of the dinosaurs, the frequency of the volcanic eruptions, cause several different factors in dinosaur extinction. The corrosion-resistant metal iridium, which is evident in the casing boundary, is associated with volcanism through the dust injected into the atmosphere. Another factor is result of acid rain from the volcanic gases, which created a deadly chain reaction starting with plant life and finally ending with the death of all the dinosaurs. Lastly, the gases from the volcanic eruptions shook the dinosaurs of the sun, resulting in a dramatic climate change. Although there is evidence that a meteor hit the Earth, this is not the only reason for extinction, as fossil records show dinosaur diversity was already declining at the end of the Cretaceous period. It is impossible for a single meteor to wipe out an entire species. Would a meteor that hit the Earth now kill every single person on this planet? We hope that through hearing our arguments, you are able to broaden your knowledge on a topic so widely debated. There are several paths that can be taken when trying to solve this great mystery, but there is an answer as to why the dinosaurs died, and the only ones who know the true answers are the dinosaurs.
We're now going to open up this time to see if the audience has any questions. You've all been very patient
with us
in this riveting debate.
Hi, my name is Lucy, and
Lucy is in the third row in the back.
Will future impacts occur?
Well, I have the answers to that question. Like I said, I have the answers to everything. I was a volcano. Yes, asteroids are constantly being deflected from the asteroid belt onto orbits among the inner planets, including Earth. Earth gets hit by meteors big enough to cause atom bomb-sized explosions, apparently once every one or two centuries. But 6 out of 7 of these events occur over oceans. The last one was the Siberian explosion of 1908. Impacts big enough to wipe out many species occurs only every 100 miles or so. So it is unlikely that we are, or even great-great-grandchildren will see one. And by the year 2100, we may have the capability to deflect an approaching asteroid before it hits.
Okay.
Well, hi, my name's Ariel. Was T-Rex the biggest dinosaur that there ever existed?
No. The largest dinosaur were the sauropods.
Sauropod.
Well, it's estimated to have been 120 to 150 feet long and weighed up to, guess how many tons?
73.
Lucy, you were closest. It's higher. Keep guessing. 100. You were close. And the T-Rex was the largest known meat-eating dinosaur, but scientists have recently found other types of meat-eating dinosaurs that may have been larger than the T-Rex, such as the Gigantosaurus. And
goodness.
Yeah. Any further questions?
You from the fifth row, come here real quick.
Run. How well could T-Rex smell?
T-Rex had an extremely good sense of smell. Fossils of T-Rex skulls show that it had very large olfactory lobes in its brain that processed information about smells. It probably relied on its senses of smell to locate food and water and perhaps to locate a mate.
Ooh.
All right.
Why didn't you question over here? Other side of the room.
Speak up, honey.
What's your name?
Hi, Jacqueline.
Sorry. Okay. I heard an interesting theory concerning dinosaur extinction. I once heard a scientist say he thought dinosaurs did not die out, but instead they evolved into today's reptiles and birds. What do you think of that one?
Well, well. Many scientists think birds are dinosaurs. Certainly it appears that birds are descendants from meat-eating dinosaurs, and the earliest birds look just the same, except for feather impressions. As small meat-eating dinosaurs, it's a question of
semantics.
This is Brooke. Alright, question over here. It's Brooke. I heard a scientist theorize that the dinosaurs simply died of disease because they were somewhat nomadic. They would move to a new area and get exposed to germs that their immune systems could not fight. Is this true? He also implied that the continents were not fully separated as they are today.
Wait for the end of the question.
Okay, a reason why this disease business, but hard to prove, continents came apart in the age of dinosaurs, then reunited near the end of it, with North America, Asia, and South America joined. I don't know if the dinosaurs needed to be so nomadic. Even the little mammals could have brought the diseases.
Interesting.
Wow. I'd like to also end by saying that some scientists even thought they committed suicide, so some people, they're just not really that bright. So the argument is false.
I heard an interesting myth. My name's Raquel, and I heard that all dinosaurs lived and died out at the same time.
What?
No.
No way. Impossible.
I don't really understand the question.
Did they all die at the same time? Like, did they all just go extinct at once?
No.
They all collapsed? Okay, answer?
I have an answer. Dinosaurs inhabited Earth for over 165 million years.
Wow.
During this time, different species of dinosaur evolved and died out at different times. During the dinosaurs' reign, there were two mass extinctions. At the end of the Triassic period and at the end of the Jurassic period. After both these mass extinctions, new species of dinosaur evolved from the survivors. At the end of the Cretaceous period, most dinosaurs went extinct.
That concludes the debate.
No, we're done. Good job.
Woo!